Welcome back to Owen and Brew's Barbecue. If you're listening to this, you know all about The Last Jedi, so you should not be spoiled that we're going to eat some pork tonight.
Oh, yeah. Leftover. The leftover pork.
I am Matt. Today I am joined with Nick, and I think there's a lot of fans of our show that are ready for the Nick picks of this episode. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and kind of start this format with a little bit of a similarity from the last part one, as far as getting Nick's kind of initial take on maybe his movie experience and what have you. So, I don't know if you really want to know much more about my movie experience.
No, I mean, I think it'll be interesting, you know, because you do, when you podcast, you play off the reactions of other people and questions posed by them. So maybe things I'm saying, you might see it in a different light and the way that you really saw it, or what you and Boston and Jay's discussion was. It could be a very flipped coin situation.
Yeah. And if Jay shows up, you'll just start cussing more later in the show.
Exactly. Like, it goes from a very friendly environment to, okay, there goes that.
So, but anyway, we'll try to keep it on point. I will say, though, that this episode 8, you know, it did use Bastards, which I was surprised by.
It did. I didn't hear that, I guess.
Yeah, I was like, huh. Well, they're getting a little free and loose there. So, but anyway,
just first, if anyone has never listened to Game of Thrones, the term Nick pick comes from me nitpicking Game of Thrones to death. And so that's what you're going to get from me is I don't let little things go very easily. So.
Yeah. Not in the fantasy world of Star Wars, and we shouldn't either. So, but anyway, on with the show. This is it. So
sure.
Nick, yeah. Tell us, I guess, what your experience was going to the movies. And
it's the greatest Star Wars ever made. No, I'm just kidding.
The head of time, were you like laying low? Were you?
Oh, I'm just like you. I stay completely spoiler free. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know nothing at all. And I got my wish. First, I want to answer, you know, like the question I think Boston posed, which was, what was your reaction when the credits rolled?
Oh, right.
And because I thought that was a good question. And, my reaction was, because I sent with my friend Cliff, was just, okay. That's what it was. I remember looking at him and going like, okay, that was interesting. So it wasn't like The Force Awakens where I was just steaming the entire time, like just mad. So it was entertaining. I was pleased at first. And I think if I had done this immediately after leaving the theater,
mm-hmm.
I would probably have given you a much better review than what I'm going to give you. But I had the whole day to really sit and think about it and what I liked, what I didn't like, you know, what they're trying to do with it. Because I'm, as Jay knows, and you know too, I'm a plot person, and I like to see where the overall arc is going, not just the little arcs. So little things like that. But
okay.
So what was the question you asked?
What's that now?
What was the question you asked me, though?
Oh, I just was curious about just your experience seeing it with
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Good film. Was it perfect? No. Was it great? No. But yeah. I didn't hate it. And that is good enough for me right now.
Well, since you know, I guess the part one we were a little bit all over the place. Let's break down the plot a little bit more, if that works, and then we can get to maybe those Nick picks along the way.
Yeah, I mean, there's lots of them. So, they're all just in my notes. They're all just scattered as they popped into my head. So they're not in any particular order like I normally do, because I just saw it last night, everybody. So I didn't have time to really organize you know.
And I've only seen it twice. So I'm basically recapping from my mind the events that I remember. So we'll just do it that way. Cause I don't have every like flashback when it happens. So, or not flashback, but side to side conversations. But it opens, you know, as all Star Wars movies do, with a big, huge crawl. I was kind of curious as to how they were going to do this because of the whole timeline thing. This is the closest we've ever had between two Star Wars movies. Like I was like, well, what's the crawl gonna say? Hey, we just blew up this base and they're about ready to gonna attack us.
Didn't even mention it, did it? I don't think it did. Well, that's what, like, I kind of got my wish. That's what I was about to say. It's funny, yeah. Like your audio's going out sometimes.
Oh, sorry.
I kind of got my wish in a way, because as anyone that listens out there, I despised The Force Awakens. I thought it was a complete waste of a movie. And I had secretly kind of hoped that you could skip from Return of the Jedi directly to The Last Jedi and see what would happen. Because I'd said that before, The Force Awakens doesn't really set up anything. It's virtually a copy of A New Hope in that, you have a young, Force-sensitive girl, you have a potential protagonist, and they blow up the Death Star, and that's pretty much it. The New Republic is wiped out, and so, all you really need to know going into it was that there's a girl who's the hero and a young guy who's going to be the villain, and go from there. And that's just how I saw it. And so when I opened up the way it did, and a lot of the mysteries and things that were set up in Force Awakens were just brushed aside as if they were not important. And I was like, oh, great, I'm getting my wish. Like, all the crap that was set up is just gone.
So your reaction, kind of also playing off of thinking about what Chris said yesterday, the Luke Skywalker lightsaber moment, like that.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. I mean, there's definitely some jokes I didn't think worked, but yeah, the lightsaber one I thought was great. Because he gets there and people put so much hope into because I wanted him to secretly go like, did you find the hand that went with it? But yeah, I liked it because it's just got, and it, to me, it almost felt like a if it would have been Yoda, like something Yoda would have done too, of just like, it's just a piece of material. It's nothing. A lightsaber does not make a Jedi.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I felt. It could have gone either way. Either he's going to be like, what do I want with this thing? Or what happened of just like, that's not me anymore. And, right. And I liked it. I thought it was clever because it was shattered. It shattered any illusion in that, uh-huh. in that one voiceless moment. It's just like, oh, this is not what you're going to think it's going to be.
Right. And what a great, it's kind of the saying in the trailer that we got, this is not going to go the way you think. And you could use that as the the tag for the movie line, because I think, throughout the movie, we do have things go like, oh, this is where they're going to kill Leia. Nope, this is not going to go the way you think. They're not going to kill Leia like that.
I mean, there's definitely predictable things in the movie. So
right.
It did go the way I thought it was going to in a lot of ways. But we'll get to that later.
Okay. Just to kind of bring up the beginning, this beginning starts with them scrambling and leaving the base, trying to pack up. And we see Billie Lord. She gets a lot more screen time in this movie, which is nice. So
she did.
Hopefully, obviously, I can't imagine her not being in Episode 9. So it's nice to think of her as part of the Star Wars family still. Then we also see the destroyer show up, and Hux, this begins this comedic kind of banter between Hux and Poe, who is kind of staring him down. Go ahead.
That's the one joke. Well, there's actually a couple, but that's the one that I kind of cringed at. I liked the joke. I actually thought it was funny. I just didn't think it belonged in a Star Wars movie. Because, I thought it was hilarious. It's like, oh, I'm on hold. Okay, I'm holding for Hux. What? Because right. it's just a messing with it. But it just, because it made, even though it's not the Empire, it's the First Order, it made all of them look kind of like idiots the entire movie. And I didn't like that. And that, the Empire was never that way. They were never shown as incompetent. And I kind of thought, this was, it's a bit hokey. You know, like I like, I mean, I still thought it was funny. I just didn't think it fit.
All right. Well, I'm not going to try to iron out all of your wrinkles. I'll just say that I do. Poe Dameron is the Peter Parker in the comic book universe. He tends to be the witty one. So, although I'm not a big fan of the Poe Dameron comic. It continues to go where I wish the Kanan series had gone on, but that's a whole other bag of worms for another day. Anyway,
I liked the opening. I thought it was solid. I thought it was, you know, it gripped you from the get go, and actually, and even it played out even the way I kind of wanted it to, with like Poe being this cocky pilot who's not listening to orders, and then immediately, that's my first thought was like he should immediately be demoted and put in his place, and that's exactly what happened. I was like, good for her, good for Leia. That's exactly what you should do. It wasn't like, oh, you know, you did great. You know, you destroyed it. Like, no, it was exactly like, no, this is a military mission. You've got to respect orders. I was like, yes, this is good.
Well, yeah. And you even see her looking at the screen there and that moment and she can, I don't know. There's a lot that you read with Leia through this movie. Just from her expressions and the things that she does.
The only nitpick I had, which was, it's really minute, but it was just one of those things that
that's what people are watching.
But like it's one of those things. As soon as I saw it happening, I was like, wait a minute, are they seriously going to bomb a ship in outer space? They're implying that gravity.
Oh sure.
Yeah, they're dropping bombs on in outer space. I was like, that's not even possible, you know. But like, it's just one of those things. I was just looking at it and I'm like, what? You know, they should be at little missiles or something. That, you know, they have, you know. And I was like, but it's just, it's fine. But it's just one of those, like, to me, I was just watching. I go, that's just dumb.
Can I retro tech it in some way that it's going towards the planet? That the planets pull, and that I'm not going to try to
justify it.
I love the bomber scene. I think it's so cool. I guess also too, because I've had the pleasure of playing this Star Wars X-Wing miniature game that my brother likes to play and has hooked me into playing with him multiple times. And we square off against each other. He just so happened to buy the Kylo Ren ship and the bomber, and I won. I beat him. So I rarely win. Anyway, it was fun playing with the bomber, even though they are weak in the game. And so there's certain things that it's funny because you play it in the game, and it's like, oh, that kind of works also in Star Wars. Like, they talk about tracking and the whole tracking system. I mean, that's a whole part of the game. But sorry, I'm all over with Star Wars today. Let's get back to The Last Jedi. The bomber scene, yes, gravity doesn't work like that in space. Maybe there's some kind of projectile aspect to these bombs that's being pulled by the magnet of some inner, who knows, right?
Who knows?
So, but they bring it down, Leia slaps him, and Finn wakes up in a very humorous way where he's naked and
I didn't get that. Like, did they put him in there right after the last movie?
Yeah. He's been in that stasis ever since. And so healing his spinal cord, which I can only imagine was sliced.
I mean, right.
Okay. That's where, I mean, if you watch that, it looks like he cuts him right up his spine. Mm-hmm. So he grew a new one in this movie.
He did grow a new spine. Yeah. You know, but like, I mean, y'all probably know this already, but, you know, I detest Finn. I think he was a comic relief that should have died in the last movie, and he should have. I mean, you think about it, he's a coward, sort of, you know, and he could have had redemption, like, at the end of just, like, he found his spine, and then Kylo cuts it in half. And then there you go. And it would have saved us having one of the three story arcs in this movie that doesn't work. Not in the movie. So,
all right. There's a scene that happens, which cuts. This is how we get the cut to Luke and Rey when I think Finn asks Poe Where's Ray? So, because that's all he can think about.
Right.
So he only falls in love with girls that names start with R, by the way.
Yeah.
And who happened to save his life.
Yeah. Which
So
that was awkward and kind of forced too, I felt, because it's like, wait a minute.
I do.
I know they've been together the entire movie, but there hasn't been
Yeah.
any inkling of this until that moment. And
I think the kiss. I
I
think
don't
it's
even know if
just the
she lived or
kiss.
died.
Right. Well, she does live, but I just think it's the kiss, the way that the kiss went down. It's like she wakes up for one moment, she and then she has this uncut, like, I don't know. I mean, I know what they're trying to set up there, but it just,
Yeah.
I do agree that the kiss seemed forced in that moment. But at any rate, plot wise, Ray, Luke, we already talked about the lightsaber scene. He goes off, and eventually Chewbacca is reunited with Luke in a very kind of unceremonious way.
Well,
Would
it's
you say?
kind of weird because, like, what if Luke would have been on the other side of that door and the door would have came smacking in, just knocked, waylaid Luke? I was like, wow, Chewie, that's not really thinking ahead there, bud.
Right. They must have these doors just laying around because a
No,
couple of scenes later, the door is fixed.
the door is from the X-Wing.
Is it?
Yeah, there's no metal on that island. It's all rocks. It's like Ireland, you know, it's just rocks and grass.
Right.
And the door is part of the X-Wing fighter.
Well, those workers must do a good job just getting out those dents because later in the movie the it seems dentless. So
Yeah.
just saying. That's my own Matt pick. I don't know. I don't have a fun
Those
favorite.
workers were the only true. I mean, because I didn't mind the porgs. You know, like, I got it. Okay, they're native to the island. Like, you know, they're annoying a little bit, but okay. But the fish nuns, I was like, what the heck is that? You know, like, I was like, okay, whatever. I mean, they weren't in it enough to really annoy me, but it's just kind of those, that just looks weird. You know, these big, huge fish dressed as nuns. I was like,
Yeah,
okay. I
that's
don't
I
know.
guess hey, that's how you evolve in an island planet there
Yeah,
is
but
fish.
it's like those big cows in episode two that, you know, look like ticks. You're like, what the heck is that thing? It's just like a big tick, but they're cows.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with the nuns. I actually like the idea that there would be a reverent society trying to upkeep the first temple. Like it just makes sense from a I mean, just anywhere. I mean, you go anywhere in on Earth, and there's people that are living near ancient relics trying to keep them holy.
That's true. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter where. I mean, it's like take the Vatican, for instance. I mean, just think about all the people that just live and operate within the Vatican, just keeping all those relics. I'm not saying that the Pope's a relic, but anyway. Sorry,
You're
I
interesting.
digress. I don't know where I'm going on this. Might have to put a warning on this podcast.
No, okay. Well, okay, like, I'll just say this, like, plot wise, there's three plots in this movie.
Okay.
There's three story arcs. One works, one sort of works, and one doesn't work at all.
Okay.
So the one that doesn't work is the Finn and Rose story. It's very forced. It felt like it could have been put in Rebels or Clone Wars or anything else. It's just one of those episodes that doesn't go anywhere. It's just a goody two shoes type mission. You see the evilness of capitalism and how, like, the wealthier, you know, spit upon everyone else, and then you have the little slave kids that are tending the horses that get electrocuted and whipped, and then one day they're going to rise up, and that's it. And
Right.
the story doesn't really go anywhere aside from that. And I felt that, you know, 40 minutes or so was kind of a waste. You have the other one that sort of works, which is the resistance leaving or fleeing, which is basically a ripoff of the very first Battlestar Galactica episode 33, which is when they're trying to outrun the Cylons and they're constantly having to
Right.
jump. That's what
Yeah.
that is. And it sort of works and it sort of doesn't work. I mean, I like it and that it's constantly a threat, but I didn't feel it had an emotional weight to it, really. I mean, I don't want to break it all, get all into it. We can get into it later, but
No, I mean it's okay. We can break it down however. It's not that I remember all of the beats of the movie. I'm just
I
kind
mean,
of
this,
walking through it in my mind.
yeah, well, this is just me, you know.
No,
Okay.
I like this breakdown of the ones that don't work and the ones that do work. So, what is the other story that does work for you?
And the one that does work is the Luke
Right.
Rey and Kylo storyline. However, I mean, it works, and I like the connection. And they explained that pretty well. But there's some other things I didn't like about that storyline, which, and it's just little things. I still felt that was the best story arc of the movie.
Sure.
But I didn't really like what they did with Luke. I just didn't felt it. I agree with Mark Hamill that I don't think that's really true to Luke's character. Did I still find it entertaining? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'll get into that one later because that's the main meat of the movie, I felt. But so let's just go back to Battlestar Galactica.
Sure.
So I didn't feel that there was an emotional weight to it because, like, even like later when the ships are running out of fuel and you're seeing all this loss of life, there's not really any kind of moment, where they're like, "Oh my God," like, or like, "What is happening?" Or like, it just because, like, think of Return of the Jedi when they realize that the Battlestar is fully operational, like they lose one ship and they're all freaking out, like that's kind of the moment I was looking for of just like this sheer panic of like, let's get away from this thing. And they really
I
don't.
think, I mean, I felt that when they were in the life pods because they had no protection at that point.
That's true.
I think that's the point where like they've made it this far, because like you get the moment where the guy's in the medical frigate and it's like, oh, that's your childhood right there, remember?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
this guy, he's basically like all life pods are away, so they're actually able to continually shuffle the people as they go along. It's just when they're in the life pods, which I think has the most story potency, because you're already in the Snoke chamber at that point. You don't know what's going to happen with Rey, and they're destroying every pod with every shot. And it just keeps coming at this point. So I liked the, and I think I did mention Battlestar Galactica about it, in the part one. If not, I know I didn't. Oh, okay. I know I definitely talked about this to someone because it did remind me of BSG, and in that very first episode, which I liked. I actually liked the fact that they took that idea of the pursuit, and how that kind of haunted them, like the whole time until it whittles them down until what? There's like 40 of them left.
Right. And that's kind of sad too, and we'll get to that later.
It is
But
kind of bleak. I mean,
it's bleak in that, like you had a very small armada there and you're getting away in the Millennium Falcon with what, like 20 people. It's like, wow, good job, guys. It just kind of, yeah, and I'll get to like where I want to go with that later.
Okay, sure.
But
Well,
like, okay, so I liked the whole, the TIE fighters and Kylo coming out and his fighter and destroying the fleet, and that was really great action sequence. And and like, I liked his dilemma. He sensed his mom or was on the ship and he pulled back. He didn't want to, but then of course they beat him to it. And this was my first WTF moment of Mary Poppins in space.
It's fine. We can be divisive on this because I love it.
I felt this was the first time where Han Solo said it best in The Force Awakens of that's not how the Force works.
Right. I think
And
I
just,
read that somewhere too.
yeah, and not only did I think it was kind of lame, I felt it was a disservice to not only Leia's character but Admiral Akbar, rest in peace, because you don't
You didn't
even
hear
notice.
what his last words were? This
Ah!
is crap.
Yeah. Okay. So
He
this is
said
where
that. He said that.
this is crap.
As he
This is
flew
crap.
off.
This is crap. Yeah, I can totally see that. Okay. Well, it's just because, like, okay, so she's out in space, which will literally kill you in less than a minute, people, if you're sucked into the vacuum of space. But whatever.
Sure.
But you're so distracted by that Leia is out in space, you forget that Akbar just died as well. And then she brings back in, cool moment, she's all saved and things like that, and they send her off to medical. And this is where it starts to fall apart to me, because if it had been me, if I was a script doctor, I would have never had that scene in there, because it makes more sense just to keep Leia and have other people fly out of the bridge and have Leia be the Laura Dern part. Because Laura Dern's character, you have no emotional weight to her, you don't care who she is,
Sure.
And so when her sacrifice comes up later, you don't even care that she's sacrificing her life because there's no emotional weight to her character. So I'm not saying Leia should sacrifice herself because I wouldn't have wanted that, but you could have easily had Ackbar do it. And like, you know, Leia's trying to flee and Ackbar's like, you know, I've led a good life, whatever, I'll do it. And then he just stops the main ship as they're flying. You know, of course, then the First Order stops and says, like, what's he doing? He turns the ship around into attack position. You know, he's, you know, and then that's when he hits the, you know, the light speed. And you could even have someone on the First Order go, oh, my God, it's a trap, you know, and then go through the ship. And I think that would have been a much better scene. But whatever. That's me.
Sure. I grew to like Laura Dern's character. Actually. So, I mean, cause I guess they got me with the, like, I don't like her. Maybe I like her. I don't know if I have to trust her. And then like to the moment where you're just kind of like, oh, that was awesome. You know? So I guess they got me. So
okay.
I actually enjoyed, there were parts of her that I was like, not completely sold on. There were aspects or moments where I was like, I don't, you know,
well, but, it's little things like, why is she wearing a dress? Isn't she an admiral? Why is she wearing a dress? It's just little things like that that I was noticing. I was like, oh, that's weird.
I think we're led to believe that she has some kind of aristocratic background, and she could be, you know, I don't know. I haven't read anything as far as, you know, it'd be interesting if the book or the novelization at least divulges a little bit more information about some of these, you know, characters. So I don't know. I guess the novelization isn't coming out until, I think, like, March. So it's coming out in a while. But,
okay. But yeah, and then with Poe, you know, his storyline was okay. You know, I liked the beginning and the fighter pilot thing. That was great. But the whole kind of mutiny, you know, not understanding, it's like the rebel, a very, you know, maverick type character. Mm-hmm. It's like, I want to be in charge, but I did like, you know, that he's put in his place not once, but twice of like, hey, like, you're just an underling, shut up and do your job. But it also felt awkward at times to me, you know, and then the fact that at the end, you know, Leia's kind of like, follow him, and that he's clearly going to be like a general in the next movie, because it's probably going to take a 20 or 30 year time leap, I would guess.
I guess the aspect of what the, you know, there's that moment where Luke's going out to fight, you know, and Poe's usual reaction was to blow stuff up, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Finn wants to do in that moment as well. But Poe is the one that's like, no, like, this is a distraction. He wants us to leave. So, and just that moment of the passing of the torch, I guess, of Leia to Poe in that moment. I don't know. I actually liked Poe's storyline. I agree with you. The Finn Rose, Canto Blight. I think in that moment, it's kind of like, wait, if they can leave, why can't the rest of them just leave?
Exactly.
Like, so it kind of takes you out of the impending doom that they're being followed. And I guess the alternative would be, let's just say, if all of Canto Blight just didn't exist, right? And you just didn't have this other, because the movie's long as it is. And I'm of two minds on this. And I lean more on the, it is what it is, and this is the pie that we got. But if Canto Blight wasn't in there, and you didn't have this Finn Rose escapade, the movie would be more on a solid 2-hour course, and you'd actually have this, I think, more self-contained, like, the imminent direness of them, like, trying to escape would be playing out throughout that period of time where Rey's gone, and then it just ends with Crate.
Yeah.
So,
well, no, I agree that there needed to be another element, because it's kind of boring. That's the thing, like, where this one differs from a lot of other Star Wars. It's basically three cartoon or three serials all interwoven with each other, instead of having, like, where Empire Strikes Back, where you have two, or A New Hope, which is basically one. Or even Return of the Jedi, which is two as well. Three, and it doesn't quite fit. But you need to have that alternate setting, because you're right. Like, if without the casino scene, you're basically on the ship or you're
Right.
on the planet with Luke, and that's not really that entertaining.
Yeah.
So,
I think that Canto Blight in some ways, also feels the most prequel-ish.
it does. It
You
felt very prequel-ish. Yeah.
know. And I don't know if that's some of the way the action shots were done with the horses or
The horse track thing made me definitely think of
yeah.
the prequels.
Well, yeah, the racing thing, but also just kind of like how it was shot or just logistically. I did like the horses through the casino and the casino scenes. It's outside the casino and the logistics of that. And then the other aspect is you get the more you know story with this, which the ending, the hyperspace that's like a shooting star, the more you know.
Oh yeah.
So without Canto Blight, you don't get the more you know, and maybe we don't get this peek into where Rian Johnson is going. Is he gonna explore this underbelly side of Star
There's
Wars?
no telling. No
Yeah.
telling. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't like I thought Benicio del Toro's character was kind of a waste. He's kind of like as you said, Otis from Mayberry. Or I call him Reverse Lando because that's basically what he was. He was the less interesting Lando, in that fact that he's a character that's a scoundrel that you don't really know anything about, and he betrays at the end, and that's pretty much it. And you don't know if he died or not, which is interesting.
I would assume that he escaped. I mean, he had the ship was right there, and they were kind of loading up his ship. So, and it seemed, I don't know, it seemed like he was making a break for it. So, I guess Captain Phasma is dead.
I don't know. You could bring her back too, but I mean
Right.
that's it's that whole story arc to me is one of the most ultimate letdowns in the fact that Phasma, which was not really an interesting character anyway, she's just the Boba Fett of this series. Didn't get we didn't learn anything new about her. She showed up, Finn's kind of story arc, which was very minimal at best, kind of got resolution with that, and then he came back and faced his whatever you want to call it, his former masters or former employers or
Right.
whatever, and showed that he wasn't a coward. But to me, that I felt a lot of this movie, as in I'm sure Jay in Boston thought I would bring it up, a lot of it does echo Empire and it does echo a lot of Return of the Jedi. And this whole face down with Phasma and Finn was basically the equivalent of Luke and Vader on the catwalk. That was like that segment of it. I mean,
Oh.
it doesn't echo it or it doesn't copy it, but it's that face down, I guess I would call it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's pretty weak, but that's what I felt of it. It's like, oh, okay, that's that part. But I didn't really care for it. And the fact that like I wanted Finn dead anyway, and like there were
Right.
so many times where he could have been dead. And I was like, just kill him already.
I think I was the one that called you on that. As far as like I thought that you would say that Finn should have been sacrificed at the end there, like he should have
He
died.
should have. I mean, you should have seen me. I was like most moments where I was like, yeah, come on, come on, die. And then, no. Because one, you've already had a ship fly into another ship, vacuum of space. Irrelevant. You have stormtroopers and Phasma not running for their lives. No, our priority is to kill this guy right here. Still didn't die. It's like there's like three different times you could have killed Finn.
Well, only time will tell if Finn
Oh, he won't die.
he won't die. Yeah. Well, I guess Phasma is what I'm getting at. Is time will tell if JJ brings Phasma back. I know we've kind of derailed from any kind of plot assemblage here, but thinking through some of the main beats here, I do agree. Like, let's kind of talk just a little bit more about Canto Blight.
Sure.
And maybe, I mean, do you subscribe to the J idea that he's somewhere between being an Otis, where he let himself into to sleep off, you know, like he gets himself in trouble to almost capture an aristocrat, like almost swindle somebody. Like he,
yeah, I mean, we'll never know probably like why he was in the prison cell, but yeah, it's
clearly he can let himself out. So why? Yeah.
His motivation though from the get go was money,
right?
And he's just an opportunist.
And I guess somebody interesting to pair him up with BB-8. So I don't know. I mean, there's some comic relief moments there.
Mm-hmm.
So with BB-8, animals throughout this entire movie. There's like three specific animals that we get to kind of
four. Well, I guess if you count the nuns, if you count the nuns as an animal, I guess I do. But like, okay, so. Nuns bothered me a little bit, as I've already said. Porgs didn't bother me so much.
Right.
The ice foxes, I thought was a bit too many. I was like, why are all these things just hanging around people? Like, I didn't really get it until the end of what the purpose was. But still, I was like, you could have had like two or three and serve the purpose instead of like the 20 that were on screen.
But by the way, that was a very Rebels kind of solution to that story.
It was. So, of like, oh, let's just follow the animals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's one more, isn't there?
The horses, basically.
The horse. Yeah, I like the horses. Those are pretty cool. I mean, they're not really much in it other than just running, but I liked it. And then I like the one, I just, you know, you catch it out of the back of the screen of like when Luke and Rey are doing something, you see like this huge, like lizardish kind of sea monster in the water.
I was
like, that's cool. I was like, I wonder what that is.
Right. And the big, huge seafoam green milk machine.
Oh yeah, so that's the one I was thinking of. Which that was the one scene I was like, could have done without that, but whatever.
I think they were trying to show you like Luke's routine and how like a little bit maybe off kilter he is, because when he takes a drink of that and he's just like, rah, like,
oh, that's so good.
I kind of like, I kind of like it just for his expression alone. Like, I mean, it's weird, and they had to throw in something weird, I guess, that's disgusting, but.
Yeah,
I liked his expression, and I liked Mark Hamill for the most part. I agree. I don't. Yeah, this isn't how George Lucas probably would have written this, and it wasn't. It didn't carry an emotional weight with me when he died.
No, me neither.
So yeah. I was.
I just felt I understood it after I thought about it, like why he died, but it just. This is one of the issues I have with that whole story arc, in that you're introducing an element of the Force that an audience has not seen yet, with the whole physical part of being through the Force. You know, up until now you've had Force ghosts, you've had interactions within a visible area of you. You know, so like you can Force pull, you can Force push, you can do lightning, but it's all within your surroundings of where you are physically at.
Sure.
So I did not like, you know, that Yoda was physically able to touch Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like what Luke did at the end, because I felt it was too soon. Like if you just wanted to introduce it like they did with Rey and Kylo, and like they just touched for that brief second with their hands.
Yeah.
That would have been okay. Cause you're just slowly kind of going like, this is something we haven't seen before, and that's just like, because I remember when that first happened, I was like, how the heck is that possible? You know, and then Snoke later says, I bridged the gap, because Snoke was supposed to be this all powerful in the dark side. So you're like, okay, because he is a master, like so powerful that he can physically do that.
Right.
You know? And so I think that would have been fine just to leave it there. Of like, so this power is possessible to physically project yourself somewhere.
I also think that this, just to kind of, I'll let you continue there, just at least on Snoke, I think this might also be how Snoke perhaps, made his connection with Ben Solo, was through this projection ability, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he bridged himself with Ben Solo, because think about it, like, he's not, like, where was Snoke at? Like, how did he, like, pick, you know?
Well, that makes... That's actually brilliant right there, what you're saying, because that was the one part of it I couldn't figure out. When Ben Solo says that, like, how are you doing this? Because you should be dead by doing this. I was like, well, how would you know, Ben? I was like, all you've known is Luke.
Right.
And
But if it's
Luke,
Snoke, yeah.
but if Snoke showed him, then it's like, oh, that makes total sense. And then the fact that Luke did it after turning himself away from the Force for so long, like you didn't know if he knew this power or not. And
But
then also he,
he's also at the first temple.
yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I just didn't like that. I didn't like that he projected. Like, I would have liked it better what you guys said. Like, get in your X-wing, fly there, physically do it.
No.
No.
I like the whole across the cosmos thing. I like it.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. It's all the Force. So, I mean, and he's kind of higher up. That's also the other thing with the Yoda thing. Like the fact that Yoda can summon the
The
lightning
lightning.
or tap him on the nose, I think that was Yoda's way of seeing, like, you don't know everything because I can do this, you know.
But in all the, I know that, like, you can make the same argument with, they didn't know about Force ghosts either until Qui-Gon Jinn. But, like, all of a sudden, for thousands of years, no one's ever been able to do this, and now they can do this. And that's what I'm saying about, like, introducing it. You can't just dump it all on the audience the way they did. Like, I felt it should have been like just a one simple example, and then next movie.
All right, fair enough. So I liked. I mean, I did mention on the part one, whether or not this is what it was. I know there is, as Chris is giving me a hard time, symbolism behind
But did you get that joke?
the joke about symbolism.
Okay, so because I think you said symbology instead of
Symbology.
symbolism. Yeah, and symbology is like what I do with, like, maps. You make maps and it's
Oh, okay.
symbology. And you said symbology, and so in the movie Boondock Saints, there's a part where a guy says that, and he goes, "Oh, the symbology of this," and then William Dafoe's character is being a he's a really smart guy. He goes, "The word you're looking for is symbolism," not and so it's that's what Boston was doing, just quoting a movie.
In my wordsmithing, I meant symbolism of the dice, as
But
far
I got it, yeah.
what they meant. But I also thought perhaps this is Luke also testing this ability. If he can fool her, then it's kind of like it's almost like baby stepping it. He's like, okay, if I can manifest this and place this in Leia's hand,
Well, thing I
this is me.
you can even ask Cliff, like, if you ever talk to him. I knew it wasn't Luke immediately, and I didn't know that that was going to happen. Just because the fact that when he showed up and he had a short beard, all brown hair, I was like, "That's not Luke." I was like, "That is something else." And he was like, "What are you talking about?" I was like, "That's not Luke." And
Well, and then when he pulled the lightsaber out too,
right.
because you're like, wait, where did that lightsaber come from? And I kept looking at the hilt.
And I wondered where Luke's green lightsaber was, though.
Me too, right? I mean, you'd think that it's in that buried temple
Yeah,
or wherever it crashed down on.
maybe, yeah.
Maybe it's at the bottom of his X-wing, but
That's really where I didn't. I mean, I could see, the Luke depression element of his character. I just didn't like Luke trying to kill Ben. I kind of felt that was
yeah, a betrayal
a
of
betrayal of the character, because I just can't see Luke doing that. Yeah, everyone has their moments of doubt, but I just don't. I can't see that happening. And even though it was really clever to see the different points of view and things like that, Ben's point of view, then Luke's point of view or whatever, I felt that was a total betrayal of the character. And
But he did hesitate, and it was in that hesitation that the misjudgment and the perception, which I like because it's looking at things from two different points of view, and they showed us that in that moment. They also show us the brown beard, so
Yeah.
that's your cue is just like, oh, that's what Luke used to look like
Right.
before he went into retirement.
Yeah. It's
So.
very proxy in The Force Unleashed. Do you remember that?
No.
Proxy was the droid, the
Oh,
sparring droid, and
yeah.
he would turn into all the different characters, and they would look exactly the way they were. But anyway, off topic.
All right. So I know we've kind of jumped all over the place. Let's talk about that end, and the final kind of lights
Okay.
all there.
Well, okay, so the last and final story arc, which is Rey,
Oh,
Luke,
we
and
didn't. We jumped over Snoke. Sorry,
yeah, I mean,
over Snoke.
yeah, like so we can talk about it during the whole story arc thing. I
Okay.
liked it. I liked it. I thought the connection part of Rey and Kylo was brilliant, and I liked a lot of things that happened. However, you guys called it on this, and this story arc is basically the leftover bits of Empire and Return of the Jedi. That's what it is. Not all of it, but a lot of it. And it's the fact that she shows up. He doesn't want to train
Sure.
her. Same way Yoda didn't want to train him. He does train her. So Yoda eventually trained him too. But the training sequence is kind of a letdown because you only get, I mean, you get a really funny moment right there at the beginning.
Right.
That's it. And so in the 40 plus minutes that are dedicated to this, nothing really happens. I mean, she dumps down the dark butthole of the dark side. And that was even disappointing to me too, because as soon as I saw what she was looking at, I got really excited because I remembered the original Clone Wars cartoon in part two when they were trying to promote Anakin from Padawan to Jedi Knight, and the ugly Jedi Master's like, he never faced the mirror. And I was like, oh my God, is this the mirror? Is this looking inward at himself? And it wasn't. It was more of like a weird echo and her wanting to know her parents again. And I didn't understand it. I guess the same way a lot of people don't understand Empire Strikes Back either with Luke, But I was like, oh man, they could have done something so much better, I felt, with that scene. I don't know what, but I just felt it was kind of a letdown. So once again, it's another Empire kind of echo. And then you have this whole connection with Kylo and her. It's the same way as with Luke, summoning the Force and seeing Han and Leia being tortured and Chewie. And then and what does Luke do? He immediately wants to go to Bespin, and she immediately wants to go find Kylo. And you even have the same line of I felt the good in him, And then Luke's like, this is not going to go the way you think it is because he's already done this. And so that's what I mean. It's echoing. And then you get out of the Empire parallels and you get into the Return of the Jedi thing, is that she shows up. He takes her directly to Snoke, the same way Vader takes him directly to the Emperor. You even have the handcuffs. And life must be really boring for Snoke because all he's doing is sitting in that chair in a red room. And at least the Emperor could look out in
Assume that he
space.
has like got he's got a kind of a TV screen that comes down
Maybe,
when the guards go away, like he can watch the game in there. So.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's kind of the same, and I didn't hate it. And I'm just pointing out these parallels, people. I'm just saying, like, this is what I saw it as, and I thought it was interesting. I didn't hate it. It's just
Yeah.
not like I did.
I guess I see the parallels that you're I see the parallels there. I'm not blind to some of those sequences or even some of those references that they make in their speech. But that I guess the Snoke scene was probably one of those moments that I was most satisfying as the movie watcher where things felt really live. Like I didn't know what was going to happen. And I was so happy that they killed Snoke because it felt I don't know. It felt like I didn't know what was going to happen next,
That's true.
and to see these things, like to see it unfold, like where they're back to back and fighting, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like what's going to happen next? Like, is he going to go good? Is she going to go bad? Like, what? I don't know. It again, and meanwhile, the fact that they were blowing up the ships at that point, it felt the most like everything was in peril, and I felt very much more, I guess, in that moment of being in that universe and it feeling like Star Wars to me.
No,
Whether
it did. It totally did.
yeah.
I'm not arguing there.
I
Like I
think
said, I was entertained. I liked the movie. I just, like I said, like some things worked, some things didn't, and that's just my opinion on it.
Sure. No, it's fair enough. And I'm not trying to convince you otherwise. I think these are just these areas that straight, I like the divisiveness of this movie. The fact that fans are a little bit more divided about it. It reminds me even more of Empire because when Empire Strikes came out, fans were a little bit more divisive about it. The fact that it wasn't like Star Wars, that this was this was something different, you know, and that it doesn't end happy. You know, there's a lot of, and fans being like, no, that's total BS. Darth Vader's not his father. Like, that's not true. You know,
I mean,
and fans now, like, I mean, I'm just as guilty. I was like, wait, no, she's from somebody still, right? Like, he's lying to her. But the more I think about it, and the more I understand just the themes of the movie, no, like she comes from nowhere, and I am totally accepting of that. In fact,
no, and that's what I wanted. You know,
yeah.
I was extremely happy with that. You know, I think you and I have talked about this on multiple. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No. It's just one of those things that I wonder, like, if J.J. Abrams comes back to this and he's like, no, I wanted Rey to be like Leia's daughter, like
Yeah.
all of a sudden, like, I mean, he's gonna, you don't think that's gonna happen. You think it'll,
I would hope not.
I wish not
I
too.
liked it because I never liked midichlorians because, you know, in the original trilogy, every kid that grew up in our generation, you felt more like, oh, if I just learn to be a Jedi, you're it's like practicing a religion. Like if you learn to focus, you know, like meditation or whatever, then you can become a Jedi. And then it kind of got ruined with the whole midichlorians thing, is that, oh, it has to be a by birth thing of like who your parents were. And this, I mean, it still is that kind of way for Rey in a way, in that they were nobodies, but they were still force sensitive parents, probably.
Yeah,
And
or maybe one was to
maybe
some,
it was, maybe one
or
wasn't. Yeah.
yeah, I mean, it's the fact that it's open to, and that's, I guess, where I'm kind of divided on the last scene of the movie,
With the
where,
rocks? Or what?
oh no, not the rocks, just with the little kid in the broom. You know,
Yeah, like that.
I love the fact that it's saying like, hey, here's a peasant kid that's picking up a broom, and he's this is where it's headed, is that
Well,
this is where the resistance is going to be born from. I think it's just all of the other trappings around it that kind of, go ahead.
this is what worries me. This is the only thing that really, when I left the movie, I kind of was like, okay, this is weird. Because if The Force Awakens was a retelling of A New Hope, and the major story arcs in The Last Jedi are Empire and Return of the Jedi, so you've spent your original material for the most part of what they were copying. And the Resistance is done. There's like 15 of them. And they're showing like these kids, you know, like, you know, this is just the beginning. So they're going to basically have to start again. And that was my issue with the movie, is that you're still in the same spot you were at the end of the last movie, is that there's not a lot of character development. There's not a lot of progression as a story. You know, the Resistance is still in control. But are they going to wait 20, 30 years to have like,
I think they could even move forward 5 years. I mean, they, you know, if you think about the events, I mean, it's not like they have to have a giant fleet, but if they could at least show progress, I could even see 10 years from now, if they move it in time, and we come back, and Rey has a school of Jedi that she's training. You know, I think there's ways that they can move this beyond the original trilogy, as far as storylines, as far as retelling this trapping of this. You know, the Sith always wanting to turn on each other is going to be a true thing throughout the saga, for the most part, because that's how they work. They're always going to want to turn the other person, their pupil.
And that was another copy of it as well, you know, and that Kylo reaches out to her the same way Vader does, you know, like, come with me and together we'll rule. You know, it's the same, very Sith like, of just like it takes two. I don't know, like,
I don't know. It's something from a dream.
yeah.
I guess
Well,
I see potential. I see like a lot of what.
this one, the next one's going to be a blank canvas, and that is something I do like, because that was the one thing that I had said, is like, if I do not like The Last Jedi, I will not go watch Episode 9. And it did at least make me go, okay, I'll watch the next one, because I didn't leave it going, that sucked.
Well, and I guess this isn't really a spoiler. This is just the working title. This is not the actual
Oh, yeah, it's the working title,
of
yeah.
the movie. This is the working title. This is kind of like the Blue Harvest of episode 9, but it's called Black Diamond. It's the
so they go snow skiing.
I guess so.
No, but like, you know, I could totally see it make the time jump make sense as well. The fact that like, oh, we're having to rebuild the resistance from like kids that were former slaves or whatever.
Right.
And it also answers the Leia question and the fact that you could easily have a funeral service for her at the very beginning, or at least some acknowledgement of like, oh, our brave general passed away from natural causes or whatever. And then that's like, you know, the first few minutes of the movie, and then it moves on.
Right.
Because like, you know, if enough time has gone by, it would make sense for an audience to believe that.
I mean, I understand what Jay was trying to say about like, this was the perfect opportunity to kill off Leia and they should have kept Luke alive. I mean, there's part of me that understands where he's coming from. The other part is that I do like that we have these strong two strong female, you know, leaders kind of, you know, this is what the seeds of the resistance are going to be born from is these two strong heroines, I guess. So I don't know. I think it just leads for opportunities for stories for them. So you don't have to necessarily, I don't know. And really, you know, when I think about the time that takes place between Star Wars and Empire, there's a lot of time there. There's like about five years.
5 years, yeah.
Yeah. And the amount of comics and stories that have come out from that is just, it's not 5 years worth. It's probably like 20 years worth. But mm-hmm. It's fun. It's fun story fodder. And I think that that's what this new trilogy needs. They do need that. You know, the prequels, they have the Clone Wars. They have this era in which they can fill it with stories about these heroes, you know, maybe building the resistance, you know, so that we can have these, you know, and ultimately, I mean, it is as we record about this, you know, it is also about the younger generation that is getting into the movies. You know, obviously the ports are there for Disney to sell to kids. And I bought one for my daughter for Christmas, so that's taken care of. I just was unpleasantly surprised when it made the squawking noise. I thought it was going to just be a plush kind of like, oh, this is cute. But then, no, we got to put a little electronic device in everything. So,
speaking of, yeah, like Chewie, what a waste of a character.
Mm-hmm.
That was another issue I had because like he kicks in the door and the whole Porg scene I thought was another PC kind of thing of like, don't eat meat. But I mean, I thought it was funny, but it's just like, okay. And then that's it. You see him pilot the Millennium Falcon and hug Leia at the end. And it's like, wow, like how can you do that to Chewie? Like he's
right. Chewie and R2 were both sidelined in this movie.
Yeah.
So, and I don't understand if they're just like, well, Peter Mayhew's not around, so we really can't use you anymore. And Kenny Baker passed away, so we really can't use R2 anymore. Like I don't know what the hesitation is about the use. I liked R2, what we did get of him. Yeah. But and I like that Luke called him out on it. He's like, that's a cheap move. But it worked for me. It did. Like I was actually kind of emotional in that scene, like even watching it a second time. Like
I liked
the fact that he was being called upon.
Yeah, that was the one of two potential spoilers that I had seen, just like something that flashed up on Facebook of like,
oh,
old hologram used, you know? And I was like, what? And I didn't know the context of how it was going to be used. But right. I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna like that or not. But then when it did, it's the same as like with the Porgs, you know, you see them, you're like, what the heck's that? And then if you see how they're used, you're like, oh, okay, no big deal.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I felt with the hologram. I was like, oh, that makes total sense. It's fine.
Yeah. I agree that Chewie is kind of a sideline. And the other thing too, I mean, we've talked about Life Day on this show. We did a podcast celebrating it. Is this the only day that they get to go home to visit their families? Because what's Chewie? He has a wife and kid. Like, and he's just fine hanging out with this girl. Like,
that was 39 years ago. So I'm assuming that his kids are all grown and out of the house now. You know, he could have gotten a divorce because clearly he's an absentee father.
He's just totally bouncing.
Yeah.
I think it's really the only reason that Lumpy was excited is because Life Day is the only day that Chewie comes home.
Yeah. Bring that alimony home.
Yeah. So anyway, that's just my thoughts on Chewie though. But yeah, that's I agree with both you and Chris that he was underused. Moving forward in episode 9, it is confirmed that obviously, like, Daisy Ridley, Oscar Isaac, John Boyega, and Adam Driver will be in it. Other characters that are most likely to reoccur that we would see, I would assume that we would see Chewie again in R2, C-3PO. Rose, would you take a
No, I mean
no, you
Rose.
don't.
Rose is. I mean, no, I don't care if she's in it or not. But like,
Right.
she's just like a Finn, and that like I don't care about her character in the slightest bit. It's like, her sister died, who we literally saw for 20 seconds in a movie, and it's like I don't really care.
Okay.
And it's just I just didn't feel any establishment to that character because it's
Well,
not
and
important.
if it's moved forward in time, I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? And we're just speculating. J.J. Abrams could be like, nope, I want to do what happens 2 hours after that. Don't know why, but it's like 2 hours after that, they show up at hangs and buy a new base with Princess Leia's ever-ending money supply. So, anyway, it was depressing that nobody was responding. You
To the
know,
calls, yeah.
because they're called. I mean, we've all been there. You're hard up. You need some help, whether it's money or maybe you've asked a girl out, and you just get nothing, no response.
You're texting your girlfriend and she's not responding, and you're like, you better answer. This is the fifth text message, woman.
It says delivered, but it doesn't say read yet. And
Yeah.
that's exactly what happened to the resistance. That's the worst place to be in. It's like it's been delivered, but nobody's read it. They're actually rejecting our calls now. Anyway.
I'm trying to think of anything else like it's really like I need to talk about.
Okay, no, that's okay. I was just gonna run over some of the other characters that we'll probably
Okay,
see.
yeah, please do.
Lieutenant Connix, also known as Carrie Fisher's daughter, we'll probably see her again, I would assume. General Hux, I mean, we saw him almost get a chance to shoot Kylo. Those seem like they're most likely to return, and possible maybes in episode 9, and I would say in this order, as being most likely that we would see them is obviously Force Ghost Luke. Like I don't know how we don't get a Force Ghost Luke.
I think it's guaranteed. I don't know how much of it'll be in there. I mean, I really thought we would get more than just that's something I didn't say. Ghost Force freaking Yoda. Did he looked like he just got out of the boxing ring. I mean, like his face was all like swole up. I was like, what happened with Yoda? Like he did not force ghost age well. I didn't get that.
I think this is the problem with Yoda. Every Yoda is different. It doesn't
Yeah.
matter what Yoda you got this Yoda here, you got that Yoda there. I mean, I've seen Yoda five different ways and he never looks the same
He
or
never
correct,
did.
right? I mean, it's like Jabba. Like, we'll never get a Return
No.
of the Jedi Jabba again, which is the most realistic Jabba, and that's the only Jabba that I believe exists. Can't
I would
convince me.
have liked to have seen, Force Ghost Obi-Wan as well. Maybe we'll get one next episode. But
With Ewan McGregor, like all of a sudden he just ages. He's
yeah,
like,
why
and
not?
he's just like, well, I like this body better or something. I don't know. Like they have to make a joke about it or something. Like Ben, you look different. He's like, I don't know. So Maz, I don't know if we're gonna get to see her again,
That
if we need to.
was another pointless kind of
It
scene.
was somewhat pointless because it related to Canto Blight and the blight on the story. DJ,
It's DJ.
guess who DJ is? He was in this movie. It's played by Benicio del Toro.
Oh, that
That was
guy.
DJ.
That was DJ. Okay, I don't really care if he comes back or not.
Right.
Because, like, that's like a huge plot hole. Like, how did he know they were cloaking the ships in order to tell the Empire? Like, what? You just got here.
Well, he's a scanner slicer dude.
I
I don't
know,
know.
but still, how does he know the Rebel Alliance or the resistance is trying to get away on ships that are cloaking. And I'm sorry, but no ship that small has a cloaking device. Just saying.
Okay.
No, that's a line from
Empire. Yeah, forever. Yeah. Okay. I don't know why you would want to bring up an Empire reference on this Last Jedi podcast.
Okay. Fine.
I mean, you crushed it like a soda pop can. Congratulations, Nick. Okay. You win the Nick Pick Award of 2017. Last Jedi in the books.
I'm just pointing out. Love me or hate me for it.
So where would you rank it? Where would you rank it in the, first of all, in this new Disney era of movies? You got three.
Just the Disney era
movies? The Disney era of movies. You got three.
Number two. Yeah. Rogue One's the best by far. And then Last Jedi. And then, yeah, Force Awakens is the worst, in my opinion. It's just crap.
How would you rank? What would your ranking overall be?
Yeah, I did this on the other day on Facebook. So you have Empire, number one, Star Wars, number two, Return of the Jedi, number three, Rogue One, four, Revenge of the Sith, then Last Jedi, Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, Holiday Special.
And then the Phantom, and then the Force Awakens?
Oh, yeah, then Force Awakens. Yeah, Force Awakens is like, you could put that down at like 99.
Right. You know? So Star Wars special comes before that.
Yeah. I would gladly watch the holiday special over Force Awakens.
Okay. I agree with certain parts. I'm probably a little bit higher on Last Jedi right now.
Like I said, I've only seen it once. I might like it again in the second viewing, because I remember when I watched Force Awakens, I hated it the first time. I liked it a little bit more the second time. And then it was like a zero first viewing, and then maybe a four on the second viewing, and then like kind of level off at like a three from then on.
So where would you rank it out of four? We were ranking them based on porgs that we would eat, or
You guys ranked it a lot higher than I would. Mm-hmm. Out of four, I think I gave it like a 2.5 or maybe just a 2.
Okay.
Like I said, I liked it. I would never go up to someone and say, "Do not watch this movie."
Yeah. You know, so do you think the fan criticism is too harsh at this point, or what do you think all of this hoopla?
I think some of it is absolutely not justified. It's a bit extreme, yeah. I think a lot of the hate is just coming from the Luke aspect and the fact that they did not like seeing their childhood hero be this confused, dark character, you know? And then him just die without really – I mean, it was him at peace, but I think they wanted to see him have more of a heroic stand. I mean, even though it was a heroic stand, it's not what I think a lot of people expected.
Yeah.
You know?
He is the spark. And I will say that he is the spark as far as, like, the turn of the tides when he comes in. Also, my favorite track from the soundtrack. It's called The Spark, which has to do with Luke's entrance. He reuses the themes of Luke and Leia and that passage. And it's nice. It's nice hearing that again. So, the main kind of theme that you hear from the trailer is also in that that little bit of it's kind of the build up basically to him facing off against Kylo.
I was going to say, because I'm looking at some of my notes, and I was like, you know.
Yeah, no, go for it. What else do you have on your
list? We didn't talk about Snoke much. So, right. And that goes back to what I was saying is, like, so if it was Disney's goal to basically retell the original trilogy in two movies, it makes total sense for Snoke to die in this movie because he's the Emperor. And they're like, let's just kill him. But you also have no backstory to him whatsoever. You don't know why he came to power, where he's from, what his motivation is, other than just to rule. And that, to me, is disappointing because, like, you're seeing a total really cool villain, basically the only cool villain in the movie, because Kylo is not really a villain. You know, he's this scared kid.
He's born into becoming a villain in this episode. Like, that is his progression, basically. I mean, he's a wannabe villain, And through this, we get to see him actually, where he's at and where we leave him is basically taking on that mantle of being the supreme leader. Maybe he doesn't know as much as what Snoke does, but he's definitely like taken on that,
I'm curious who's running the galaxy.
Who's running the
Because
galaxy?
he's running the galaxy because the New Republic's gone,
Right.
Supreme Leader's gone. You really think Kylo Ren's gonna be, making some
Running the
laws?
galaxy.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, he's got the First Order and Hux behind him, so we'll
Yeah.
see about that. I think that the backstory for Snoke, and this is kind of how I feel for a lot of this, like, well, who's this person and what's this going on? I love that about Star Wars. It's what I love about A New Hope. It jumps you into the action where you kind of have to figure out some things, and along the way, if you piece it together, or as what has now happened, there's tons of books that you can read about all of the ancillary characters if you want to know more. And I guess I know that's a crutch to say like, hey, we get more, stuff, but I think that there's been a big freeze on a certain pocket of time. And I'm hoping to see that Disney opens that up now and we can start to find out now what happened to Luke between those periods, that maybe we can get Luke's adventure still from post Jedi all the way up until he's running the temple. I think that there's more there to be mined. And I don't know. I guess that's kind of how I feel on some of those, like getting more from these characters than just what happened in this movie. Anyway, what were you going to say there as far as I didn't mean to.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't have much, but that's what I was just because we didn't talk
The
much about
Snoke,
Snoke.
yeah.
Yeah, because I mean, I thought that was so like I loved all of his scenes. I thought they were some of the best ones in the movie because it's the same thing as like with the Emperor. It's like you don't know. It's the mystery of what are his powers. Like what can he do? I even liked the humor of kind of like an echoing of when Luke summoned the lightsaber and then Vader, crossed it, in Return of the Jedi. Like you see Rey try to do the same thing, but Snoke sees it coming a million miles away and this spins it around the room and hits her in the back of the head. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
Well, it's a playoff of The Force Awakens too, because she summons the lightsaber and it comes right to her, and this time it does. It smacks her in the head. Yeah, go ahead.
But I just liked everything, like the him force lightning Kylo. I liked, everything about it. I just thought it was really cool. And that he I didn't like the his guards that much. I thought that was a bit silly how like anything that happened, they all were like, hoo-ha, hoo-ha. I'm like, why are you doing that? Like it's just Kylo. Like, yeah, I don't
I think they were just establishing like what the fact that each of their weapons had something on it. And I'm only saying this because based on what I've read from Rian Johnson, like in his interviews, like or the breakdown of different things, he was very conscious of like one thing telling this other thing that might happen later. And so I think that that's basically there as a way of saying like, hey, these light up.
Oh.
So
Okay.
it's like I know it's weird because like the nipple scene, like why do we need the nipple scene? But apparently based on his own words, it was
Yeah.
there to establish for
That they could see. Yeah. I was like, okay, whatever. Like, so you managed to get your shirt off. sorry, that's a Galaxy Quest quote, if anybody doesn't know.
Well, I don't know how to finish this up here because I feel like we could talk about The Last Jedi more, and we probably will. I would think in some future podcasts come back to.
I'm sure, with the repeat viewings, I'm sure I'll have completely different thoughts, and different ideas. But like these are just the ones that off the top of my head today.
No, and we're getting you actually more immediate than what Chris and I were, because
Oh yeah.
I'd seen it twice, Jay had seen it twice. Jay and I are obviously a little bit more sweet on it. And I think that it's fair that we do kick the tires, I'm
Yeah, I mean
glad that
I'm more Jay, I think, called it, I'm more the dark side. So, with you three, on the first podcast being in the light, I'm definitely in the dark. So.
Well, I will say that there were moments that even after my first viewing where I was like, wait, what happened to the Falcon? Why did Chewie drop her off? And then where did he go? Why didn't he just hang out with the fleet? Like what, Like, where did he go? Like, that part felt rushed to me. And again, like, I wasn't completely sold on Canto Blight. I do feel, the more I think about it, the more I break it down, as far as like, you needed something there. Is it the perfect thing? No. This
No,
is what we
that's
got.
what. Yeah, I agree. I said that
So.
earlier. Like, you needed something there. It just wasn't. I didn't feel it was what was absolutely needed.
Right. So, I do think that, we'll have probably some more time to digest this, and like I said, we'll probably do another podcast. I would think some point in the future, talking about The Last Jedi. So, all right, just to close up the show here, I guess I would like to thank some of our special patrons that make this possible. If you'd like to become a patron, go on to I think it's patreon.com/JanJack, become a patron member. Some of our special patrons that make this show and all of our shows possible on the Jane Jack network here is Tack from Tokyo, Molly the Millennial Falcon, and let's see, Eckhart Richter? Yeah.
Yeah, actor. Yeah.
Yeah. I always I'm and let's see, Ed
The mail
the letter carrier.
carrier.
He just carries letters, not packages. Except for this time of year. We love
Holograms.
what you do. Thank you for everyone that helps us out that way, as well as you can go onto our Amazon website. There's a Amazon, I think is, what is it? Amazon/JaneJack, or is it JaneJack
Jane
slash?
Jack slash Amazon. Yeah.
Okay. I always get those two confused. I put the links in the show notes, so if you're curious, you can click on those there. Let's see. I think that's it, right? Anything else I missed?
I don't know. I'm sure that after, as soon as we hang up, I'll be like, oh, I should have talked about that. But
Yeah.
like I said, that's what later podcasts are always for. Send your hate mail to.
Oh yeah, the force is well done at gmail.com if
Oh,
you.
did we get any emails that were left for me?
Oh yeah. Oh geez, I can't believe yeah,
Yeah.
I did leave one. So did you here, I'll bring it up. If I can't believe I forgot. I asked for these emails, and here I'm about ready to just to forget about
Disregard them.
just forget them all.
Gosh. Like J.J. Abrams.
A little boy named JJ writes in and says, "Golly guys, I like your podcast, but the one guy swears too much. What should I do?"
That would be Jay.
Well, JJ, it's nothing that you won't hear later in your life, so just grow a pair.
Just a word. It's not like we're forcing you to drink green milk or anything.
This email is from Craig.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, Craig. So I just saw The Last Jedi Thursday night, and am seeing it again tonight. I absolutely loved it. Did it have flaws? Yes. But what movie does?
Doesn't.
I think that's what he meant. Yeah. The trolls on Twitter are driving me crazy, like it's the end of the world. The main three things that bothered me: one, lack of Snoke backstory;
There you go.
two, Canto Blight plot line; and three, reveal of Rey's parents. One, I love Snoke's death scene and the fight that followed. I just wish we would have gotten a little bit more backstory, like exactly how he turned Kylo. We don't know much about the rise of the First Order and Snoke's rise to power. I just really hope we get more of this in episode 9. Two. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, like, I think Matt hit it on the head though with that pretty early on. Like you see it with Luke, like saying Snoke had already turned his mind as he's looking inward. And so Snoke had clearly had that bridge to his brain at some point, and I think that's how he was turned from, like, probably just from within. I mean, he could have been just while he was sleeping, like maybe Ben Solo was unconsciously being turned and Luke was sensing that.
Oh, yeah.
It could have been anything. I mean, that's
Yeah.
just how you want to look at it. I mean, if it's an answer that's never answered, that's probably how I'll look at it.
It'd be interesting if we actually go back to the ruined temple of of Luke's, and maybe we get some other clue, or maybe there's another Jedi that he was training that Rey hooks up with. I mean, there's a lot of potential if JJ wants to.
Like I said, it's a blank canvas. Episode 9 is a total blank canvas.
Yeah. Number two, I didn't hate the Finn Rose plotline. There were just some good beats to it. I just feel 15 minutes could be trimmed from it and the main story would not be affected. Three, I like that Rey's parents were nobody, but just wish there was more to it, or they hadn't made a big deal about it in episode seven. Okay, now that I got my gripes out onto what I liked about the movie, everything else. The movie was a bold new direction for Star Wars, and I loved it. They would set up a moment, and you would think you knew where they were headed with it. One example is Kylo's change of heart after killing Kylo. After killing Kylo and the fight ensued, that ensued. Oh, I think he meant after
Snoke.
killing Snoke, yeah,
Snoke, yeah.
and the fight that ensued. Also, shout out to Yoda. It was so good to see a puppet Yoda again and not weird, like looking like episode one. Overall, it was a great movie. It is better than episode one, I will give you that. Overall,
Didn't they CGI over him though now? For
in
episode
episode
seven?
one? Oh, I
I
don't
think they
know.
did. I think they did. I don't watch it enough to really know.
Lastly, he writes, overall, it was a great movie, and I'm sure there was a ton of things I get. I need to watch. I think you meant to put I didn't get. I need to watch it a few more times and let everything soak in. Craig Griffiths. Griffiths? Anyway, thank you, Craig, for
Yeah.
writing in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, Craig, I think you're dead on. I think you've kind of echoed what me and Matt have talked about here. There's definitely things that worked and things that didn't work. And that's every movie though.
Yeah. Well, again, is it the best Star Wars movie
No.
in the saga? No, but it's definitely not the worst. And I like that it's a, I don't know, at least I can say two, I don't know. I like it. So I'm excited about where this is going to take the franchise now. And at least to echo Craig's part, I like the fact that it did push against everything that we knew, that we know. It was a bit unexpected, and it kept things live. And I guess if there's a Star Wars fan in Nick's heart, he likes it when things are on the edge of your seat. So.
I thought, well, it was beautifully shot. I liked a lot of cinematography.
Oh, you're taking the George Lucas approach here. Nice.
Well, George, I think one of the reasons why he got lost was, he felt that a lot of people thought
I just met
action.
his comments about the movie. He just was like, it's a beautifully made movie.
It was a beautifully made movie. But yeah, exactly. There's just a lot of errors and things that I wouldn't have done. But
Yeah.
I'm not a director or producer for Walt Disney, so.
So if you want to get in touch with Nick, go ahead and hit him up on Coffee and Bagels or the Force is well done at gmail.com.
I welcome any kind of rebuttals to anything I've said here. I kind of think of this now because it's a two-parter. Like you guys were all positive, and I'm kind of the rebuttal of the
No,
first part.
it works. It works, and I don't think that the Last Jedi conversations are over with. I would hope that we have, maybe even a conciliatory one that, maybe we have some other guests on. So we'll see. We'll see what else we can do this year, or possibly when we have some more time.
You guys brought up at the end of the last podcast, if you think Han Solo will get pushed to December or not.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
I would think it would because I don't think the maybe they would, but I just don't think that people would be ready for us another Star Wars so quickly.
Right. I mean, we're almost so conditioned to have them in December now.
Yeah, and but I think it would because you got the fact that it lost a director,
Right.
and that some people are already kind of against having a Han Solo. I think it would hurt it to have it come out so quickly.
Yep.
Whereas, and if you wait a year or wait till next December, people are like, okay, it's been a year, time to see another one. And I think that's how a lot of people will feel. I think it'd be a smart move for Disney to wait till December.
Well, as much as I would like to have another Star Wars movie quickly on the heels of this, I would agree with you on that assessment. Especially how divisive this is right now, and going into the Solo and already people. I mean, I know myself. I was just like, "Why did you do Solo?
Mm-hmm.
Could have done, You could have done a Boba Fett backstory and you would have gotten like half fanboy like all excited.
There's so many ways you could have gone with Boba Fett, you know, and had, because now that James Earl Jones, I mean, you only have so many years left of James Earl Jones people. I would have liked, I would have liked to have seen, you didn't have to necessarily be all about Boba Fett, but you know, there is a story out there of how Vader learns about Luke Skywalker, and it's from Boba Fett. And that could have been a cool story by itself. I mean, he had like a whole Boba Fett thing, and then like one of his missions is for Vader, or a relationship between Boba Fett and Vader. Like, why does Vader in Empire Strikes Back favor bounty hunters when no one else does? Like, you could have done that. You could have done Boba Fett getting out of the Sarlacc pit. You could have done so many. Like, I'm not sure if Boba Fett can hold an entire movie by himself, but I would like to see someone try it at least.
Well, Darth Vader knows, like any cruel dictator, you have to go outside of the bureaucracy to get anything done. So, on that note, we're going to end this podcast. I know Nick and I could keep going, and we probably actually will. But for the sake of this podcast and keeping it a part two that is relatively on the heels of part one, we hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you again next time. Thanks for joining us. My name's Matt, and as always,
may the force be with you.
Great show, guys. One in a million. Wait, there's only one of us.
There's only one of us. You can't say guys.
It's great, kid.
The force ghost.